You are listening to Miller and Moulton, exclusively on the Florida Sports Network. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
It is the Diamond District Bonus Hour. Thanks so much for being with us. Miller and Moulton, millerandmoulton.com, Miller_Moulton on X. Last night was such a great night in the playoffs. We spent a lot of time talking about that, little football and golf in and around it. Now it's probably time that we have to start looking ahead. We got game two, Panthers and Lightning. Let me ask you this. I mean, not just because Florida won, but Tampa Bay did not have a ton of offense in that game, Mark. I mean, they went the first 13 minutes of the game without a shot. They really didn't get any offense going until they scored the goal with 4 minutes to go in the first. The second period was kind of even. First 12, 13 minutes, 15 minutes of the third period, that Lightning had one shot on goal.
It was a dominant, for the score to be as close as it was a dominant performance by Florida in all aspects of the game, David. They controlled the forecheck. They kept Tampa hemmed in. Tampa couldn't really get any type of offensive pressure whatsoever. And the Kucherov line was non-existent for large chunks of the game.
So, shots on goal were 28-19 Florida. Mark, we're not the smartest guys in the world, but we've been around hockey long enough, you obviously more than me, to know that teams not only make adjustments, but basically whatever happened in game one, anticipate almost the opposite happening in game two. I expect Tampa to put a lot of rubber on the net. I mean, you go 13 minutes without a shot on goal. You had four shots on goal, I think it was, in the first period. You played the first 15 minutes, basically, of the third period with one shot on goal. I mean, don't you think Cooper looks at the guys and goes, guys, you got to shoot the damn puck?
Sure. But tell me 5-on-5 how Tampa's going to get better from, game one to game two. They can't hit any more than they did.
No. I mean, the Lightning with 60 hits officially. 60 hits. Panthers with 55, 56. And it's a hell of a game one. I mean, physical playoff games have like 75 hits in them. These guys had 116. I mean, the Panthers were laughing about it looking at the stat sheet. They said, I don't know if there's ever been a game with this much hitting. It was game one. It gets ramped up as the series goes along.
Toronto and Boston had 85 hits last night.
And that was a physical game.
It was a really physical game. I mean, Toronto matched Boston's physicality in game two to get that win last night. It was an impressive performance by the Leafs. There were 30 more hits
right in
the Tampa-Florida game. 30!
Basically a whole extra period of hitting in the Lightning-Panthers game. So that's number one. Number two, come on, this is the Lightning we're talking about here. We're talking about legends, Hall of Famers, all over the place, from the coach to the goalie and forwards and defensemen in between. The point Kucherov line, they got outplayed. The only reason Kucherov got on the stat sheet was the 6-on-4 goal with 9 seconds to go. They got outplayed. You think that happens again?
I actually do.
Okay. I mean, it is Barkov's line. He's amazing.
I think it's the huge advantage in this series of home ice, that not only can they put the defensive pairing they want against that line, but they can match forwards when they want as well, David.
Tampa's got to generate more offense. Also, can the Panthers go another game, Mark? They committed one penalty in the first 59 minutes of the game. Their second penalty of the game was the cross-check on Verhaeghe with a minute 10 to go.
Which was a joke of a penalty based on the way that game was called.
Right. I mean, it was a cross-check. It was a penalty. But the way the previous two-plus hours went, it was like, wait, you're going to call that?
But I think if Tampa gets the whistle to blow the way it did in the Caps-Rangers game one, David... You know, the game they treated like it was November 12th.
Right. First 10 minutes of that game, it was like, did the refs get the memo? This is the playoffs. This is not a Tuesday night in January. What is going on?
But there were six combined power plays in that Ranger-Caps game. And there ended up being five, but one of them was because of that late penalty. So I do think that Cooper will work the officials and get one more call than he did.
This sounds silly because they're the Lightning, but I think Tampa needs the first goal. Like, when you're a big underdog, you really need the first goal. Like, if the Caps are going to have a chance in New York tonight, they have to score first. They don't score many goals. To me, they have to be up 1-0. A 1-0 deficit for the Caps seems huge against the Rangers because the Rangers are the better team. But I think the Lightning need the first goal tonight, Mark. I do. Because in Florida, I don't know how much offense they're going to generate with the Barkov line up against the point Kucherov line. And I'm also wondering, does Cooper have to mix and match a little more in game two? I think both point and Kucherov play better. Kucherov looked a little annoyed to me that they weren't calling penalties. I thought they allowed Florida to do a little stick work when Point and Kucherov tried to get into the high slot. And I think that bothered, especially Kucherov. But I think Tampa needs the first goal tonight.
For the record, you can pick up an upper-level seat, a single, for $50 tonight. For what it's worth.
That's ridiculous. I hope there's only like three seats available.
I looked right before the game in game one. There were tickets galore available. Because it's not a hockey city. I'm sorry. Tampa is. They're trying. One more round, it'll probably be sellouts.
Well, you said a couple weeks ago, or maybe it was last week, when we were talking about teams that could up and leave, and you mentioned the Marlins and the Panthers.
Yeah. And it sucks because the Panthers are really good.
And it appears that they have good ownership, too. And that this guy's smart, and he's not cheap. He's hired the right people. Willing to make change. I mean, they won the President's Trophy, and he agreed that, yeah, we have to break the team up, do things differently. Okay. A lot of owners wouldn't do that. So, just saying. Game two, Lightning Panthers tonight. I'm going to stay up late. I'm going to watch Colorado-Winnipeg. They scored 13 goals the last game. It was 3-3 after one. I mean, last night, Vegas-Dallas was 3-2 after one. And I had to talk myself into going to bed because I'm like, wow.
And that was with a goal disallowed that one, too.
I know. It's pretty damn entertaining.
I am now sprinting to the Hard Rock Bet app to see what the over-under is for goals in that game.
In Winnipeg-Colorado?
Yes. 6.5.
What?
I'm not making the lines. That's
now, I understand Winnipeg's got the best goalie in the league and all, but game one was 7-6.
6.5. You like it? Should we bet it?
Bet the over?
Yes.
Have you seen Colorado's goaltending in the last month?
Just asking.
Georgiev, I mean, he's not playing well. They got issues. They just called up, by the way, just throwing this out there. They just called up their AHL goalie yesterday. That's never good, by the way, when you're calling up the guy from the A and not because of injury, you just need him to be the healthy backup.
In the playoffs.
No. Not even calling him up because you're thinking seriously about he may have to play. And, hell, he may have to play tonight.
And that team, everywhere else, is good enough to win every game they play.
Absolutely. So we got a little hockey tonight to go with the hoop. Heat not playing tonight. Heat get an extra day off. Maybe that gets Terry Rozier back in the lineup because obviously they need as much help as they can get. They're not going to get Butler. If they're going to have any chance in this series, even to make it competitive.
Do you think they get a game?
I do. I think they get a game. Boston has not this group of Celtics have not shown that they don't get bored. They can't go a week without getting bored once. Now, my hope is that, you know, Jason Tatum's only 26. I heard a stat the other day. Do you know how many playoff games Jason Tatum has played? 95.
It's got to be a lot.
Yeah, I mean, they
95 playoff games.
His rookie year. His rookie year, they went to the conference finals and took LeBron to 7.
Jaylen Brown's played, I think, 106 because he was the year before Tatum. So he's played 11 more games. The two of them combined, I think they're both 26 years old. Combined, they've played 200 playoff games. I mean, this Celtics thing ain't going anywhere for the rest of the decade, man. They're both signed long-term.
Listen to NBA people that I trust still think that the Celtics' A game is better than anybody else, including Denver, including anybody in the West, that if they play their A game, that they're the best team.
And I think that's been true the last 2 years even. Maybe not last year. Denver was a wagon last year. But 2 years ago, the Warriors team they lost to, I thought the Celtics were the better team. To David's point, they just got a little bored.
Hell, Draymond Green all but said it, that basically we knew how to win and they didn't.
Yes, and that's what it came down to.
And then also we had Steph, which really helped.
It's nice to have a Steph.
Here's the thing, though. We can count on everybody on the Nuggets. They've all done it. Just saw it last night. Can you count on Porzingis?
No.
And do you know that you're going to get, like, Jokic's going to give you a good game every game of the series. Murray's going to give you a good game every, even last night, horrible three quarters, 14 in the fourth. Are you sure you're going to get every game of the series from Brown, Tatum, and Porzingis?
Well, and I think, you know, last night with Murray, too, missing the shots and the whole team, shoot it. You listen to him after the game. No, they kept telling me to shoot it. I didn't have it, and they just kept telling me to shoot the ball. They had faith in me.
I'll tell you what, though, you guys might laugh at this. I think that's why that Jrue Holiday acquisition was so big, because he's won a championship, and he D's up every night.
Yes.
And he's their fourth best player, you know, but still.
But they paid him. They just paid him $35 million a year in an extension, so he's happy as a clam. He's going to be on a great team for the rest of his career. He's getting paid. The East is a foregone conclusion. The East is done. Boston may lose two games before the finals. It's over.
Welcome to the Bonus Hour, brought to you by Jason and Todd at the Diamond District. And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
21 minutes past the hour. And for those in Jacksonville that are tuning in for the first time, there's a few things that you need to learn about Miller and Moulton. First off, I'm David Moulton.
That would make me Mark Miller.
And secondly, we both have our Hall of Fame hangups. I have a Hall of Fame hangup with every single Hall of Fame, with the exception of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Mark, what's your hangup?
The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, David.
There you go.
Getting to the point where I think we should just close the doors and be done with it.
And for the record, you've never been?
I've never been.
David, have you been?
I have, but here's what I think is happening, Trent. It is a place where Mark has always wanted to go. But every year he gets more and more annoyed with who keeps getting in and who keeps being left out. That now I think we may have to prod him to go.
Because they just announced the new class of the Hall of Fame.
Here we go, ladies and gentlemen.
Apparently, they did so on American Idol, which should say everything you need to know about the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and where it's at right now.
Well, don't you think that they're just doing that for marketing? They're trying to appeal to younger people. I mean, there is no more rock and roll anymore.
No, there really isn't, David, and that's sad. But Mary J. Blige, Cher, Dave Matthews Band, Foreigner, Peter Frampton, Kool and the Gang, Ozzy Osbourne, and A Tribe Called Quest are all being inducted under the performer category.
So this is Cher by herself, not with her ex-husband.
Right.
Okay. Well, no, I ask because I think she was a bigger deal with Sonny and Cher. I mean, a lot of her celebrity as Cher came as an actress. I mean, she had some hits.
She won an Oscar.
Right. She slapped Nicolas Cage in the face. Snap out of it.
That was her Oscar. Moonstruck.
Well aware of that. Thank you.
The Hall is also honoring Jimmy Buffett, MC5, Dionne Warwick, and Norman Whitfield with the Musical Excellence Award.
How much did Dionne Warwick's Capital One March Madness commercial help her Hall of Fame stock?
I don't know, but how is Jimmy Buffett not in the Hall of Fame and then he dies and we put him in? With all the artists that they've put in the Rock Hall that aren't rock artists, we're really neglecting Jimmy Buffett and he dies and then you put him in?
Yeah, I'm with Skip Carey, who said a long time ago, if you're not putting Harry in while he's alive, doesn't mean anything to us.
But, and I see, I'm not just like a rocker. I like hip hop. A Tribe Called Quest is an amazing musical ensemble. It's great. Love it. It's not rock and roll. I mean, this is turned into the Music Hall of Fame. They should rename this building.
I totally agree with you because we have argued that there's only one other Music Hall of Fame, right? It's the country.
Yeah.
Is it the country and Western or just?
I think it's the Country Music Hall of Fame. I think.
Right. So there's only one other genre that's represented with a Hall of Fame. So I think this Hall of Fame feels obligated to represent all the other genres. But you're right. I mean, most of these artists, a lot of them, they're not playing rock and roll. Obviously, they're playing great music, but it's not rock and roll. And it has driven you crazy when they put a pop artist.
Yes.
Yes.
It has. But I really believe that it's not rock and roll. Name it the Music Hall of Fame. Take rock and roll right out of it.
Right. I mean, that would immediately fix the problem, right? Because then what you're doing is you're putting in all the...
Yeah.
Which is fine. At that point, it would be fine. But you have a problem with the label of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame because putting in artists like Cher and Dionne Warwick...
Yes.
...doesn't sit right.
I do.
That's understandable.
I mean... Kool & the Gang is more rock and roll than Cher.
True.
And it's not close. But as long as you believe in the power of love, everything will be good.
Also, I got to say, like, why now? That's the other thing that I don't understand. What changed since 1987 when you could have put Cher in back then? Why? Like, what?
Well, by their qualifications, I don't know if, because don't you have to do 25 years before you're qualified?
Cher's 77. I think she's been qualified for a while. They've run out of people to put in, David. They literally have run out.
Actually, in 87, she wasn't qualified, okay? Because if you go back 25 years before that, that's 62, okay? No. She was a teenager.
She's 77. She's 77 years old. She's been qualified for a while.
No, she has. I'm just saying I don't think she was qualified in 87. She was probably qualified, I don't know, in the early 90s. But
her biggest hit was Believe, and I think that was in like 2000. So what took 24 more years for them to finally go, okay?
Well, because this one is – this is the worst Hall of Fame. This is worse than putting Chauncey Billups in the Hall of Fame. Okay, this is. No, this is. Some of the artists that they put in, never mind the artists they leave out. I mean, you think we get bent out of shape about the, you know, for the longest time it was Burt Blylevin and Jack Morris, still no Dale Murphy. All right. This Hall of Fame is the most political.
It's a joke.
If one guy doesn't like you, you're out. I mean, basically, like, Schilling not being in the Baseball Hall of Fame, okay? The Rock and Roll Hall of Fame's got seemingly 20 Schillings that they haven't put in because they just don't like them.
Well, like I said, Ozzy Osbourne just now getting in as a solo artist. I understand how iconic Black Sabbath is. They should be in, and they've been in. But it took you this long to recognize Ozzy Osbourne? Ridiculous.
By the way, Sammy Hagar, in with Van Halen, not in as a solo artist.
That's another perfect example. Is Montrose in?
No, and they shouldn't be.
Okay, I was wondering, just because you don't know.
And it's a pet peeve of mine, to say the very least.
Don Henley, not in as a solo artist. In with the Eagles, not in as a solo artist. Now, some people don't like putting people in more than once. Like Jerry West is going in for the third time into the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Eric Clapton's in the Rock Hall four different times, I think.
I was just going to say, Clapton is the Jerry West of the Rock
Hall. He's in as a solo artist. He's in with Derek and the Dominoes. He's in with the Yardbirds.
Cream.
And he's in with Cream. Yeah. Thank you.
Legend. Four
but
times.
We can put Cher in, but we can't put Iron Maiden in.
Right.
We can put Mary J. Blige in, but NXS is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
He's rolling, ladies and gentlemen.
No. I'm just...
No, I keep going. I love this. I'm barring Windelstad from umpiring Yankees games for the rest of the year. I had my gripe earlier in the show. This all Jay Giles, man, by the way. Hall of Famers, yes or no? They're not in, but do you think they're Hall of Famers? Been nominated five times.
To me, they'd walk right up to the door but not get in.
Okay, it's fair enough. The Guess You, Golden Earring, all not in.
No Sugar Tonight?
I would almost stick up for Trent's favorite band, Motley Crue, before I'd stick up for some of the ones you're mentioning.
Motley Crue's blacklisted, though. They'll just never get in because of all the horrible things they
did. But Kiss was blacklisted and they got in. Cher said I could pay them $1 million and I wouldn't get in, and she got in. So apparently all you have to do is belittle them for a little while and they'll put you in.
Well, we don't have enough time to go down this rabbit hole, but Kiss got in, and then they only put in the original four who were together for 7 years. They had a 40-plus year career with other members. None of those guys got in. It doesn't make any sense.
I'm fine with that. Kiss is the original four members, and stop it, okay? It's Ace Frehley, it's Peter Criss, it's Gene Simmons, and it's Paul Stanley. And then we just leave it at that.
Exactly. Yes, sir.
Their career ended during the Reagan administration. It's over. Give it up. Good, bad, and ugly, what's on tap? Today was the day when. Coming up.
And now, here's Mark Miller and David Moulton.
22 minutes until the top of the hour, 16 until we're done. Miller and Moulton, good show lined up for you tomorrow. We'll talk with someone from Pro Football Network. At least that's the plan, previewing the draft. Seth Everett fired up this week. Seth texted us yesterday saying, listen, when I come on Wednesday, here's what I want to talk about.
I almost answer that with, okay, Seth, you always get to talk about what you want. It's kind of the point of the interview.
So we got Seth and JP Shadrick, Jags Radio Network, play-by-play, Westwood One, PGA Tour. He'll join us coming up tomorrow as well. So not a bad little show if we do say so ourselves. By the way, the Hall of Fame debate continues during the commercial breaks. It's another reason to check us out on Twitch. We just spent that whole commercial break going through bands in alphabetical order with Mark going, no. No, no, hell no, you're fired, no.
I did fire Trent during the commercial break.
I've been fired twice today.
That's pretty good. What's your record for getting fired by Danielson in a game?
Well, in a game, I've only been fired once. I've been fired three times in a season before. Okay, usually it's once a year. 1 year, he fired me three times. Do you know him firing me? He fired me during the off season, and it actually helped me get my job with Aikman. We're doing the U.S. Senior Open 2018 in Colorado, and commercial free, and I'm standing next to Buck on his left, and I start laughing hysterically. I can't contain it. And we're at a tight part of the golf tournament, too. Coming down the stretch, Tom's is clinging to a one-shot lead, and I'm laughing hysterically. And he looks at me like, dude, what the hell's going on? And I go, Danielson just fired me. And he looks at me and I go, ah, he fires me all the time. Don't worry about it. And then he goes, what do you do for him again? At which point I fired Joe. I said, you're fired. For good, what do you pay attention? What do I do for him? And he goes, you know, you should do that for Troy. I just looked right at him. I said, that's not a bad idea, Joe. And sure enough, after the tournament, he called up Troy. Actually, he didn't call up Troy. He called up the executive producer. Never told Troy he was bringing me on to the crew.
Yeah. And Troy was really happy about it in the early parts.
Right. I showed up week one. Troy looked at me and like, who the hell's this guy? Oh, I'm working with you. Right. Okay. But anyway, so Danielson firing me in a way led to me working with Aikman.
It's time for someone to take back this segment, if for no other reason than to stop David from talking about Meghan and Harry. Here's Mark Miller with Today Was the Day When.
Not going to lie, all this Hall of Fame talk has blown this segment completely out of the water. I don't know if I'm even prepared for the segment, but we've got a couple of things. We start in 1516 today, David, when the German beer purity law was passed, saying that beer could only contain three things, water, malt, and hops.
I don't know. It's held up pretty well.
500 years ago, they got it right, David.
Yeah, and what people have tried to do with it, that's their problem.
Exactly. Today in 1954, Hank Aaron hits his first home run.
Hold on a second. Did you just like fast forward like 440 years?
Yes, I did.
Wow. You sure nothing took place in between that?
I'm sure a little bit of this, a little bit of that, but I'll skip nearly 30 more years to 1985. New Coke debuted today in 1985.
Oh, my goodness. New Coke. Oh, just.
You have no idea, Trent. Coke changed their formula. Coca-Cola, the gold standard of soda pop. And don't even start on me with Pepsi. The gold standard of soda pop.
But Pepsi was making headway. It was closing, and then they were losing market share, and they determined that their soda was a little too crisp and bitter. Pepsi was sweet. The younger people liked it, so they came out with New Coke, and it didn't taste anything like Coke. It was sweet. It was bad.
And that's the current...
No.
They went.
It was so bad that they dumped it and went back to the original recipe. It's one of the all-time biggest marketing flops that's ever happened.
That turned into a boon. Okay, the two biggest, like, it's amazing that Tylenol is still around today. Because early in its existence, there was that scandal in which somebody was injecting Tylenol with cyanide. Well, you figured that would be, I mean, literally a death knell for a product when people are taking it and dying. Okay, and they improved their packaging so that you'd know if somebody harmed it, and Tylenol sales, you know, flourished. And everyone else in the industry had to now package their product like Tylenol. Tylenol, New Coke, turning disaster into gold.
Speaking of your guy, Mr. Aikman, there's today in 1989 that Troy Aikman was the first pick of the NFL draft.
Should have been the Packers, but they won their final game of the year under Lindy Infante. Cost themselves the first pick of the draft. It didn't cost them that much, though. I mean, they settled for Tony Mandarich.
Alex Smith was the first pick of the 05 draft today. And what is it we say every team could use? The Joe Burrow. It was today in 2020 that Joe Burrow was the first overall pick.
I need a moment.
From his living room, on his couch with his parents, because of COVID.
The original Bill, born today. Shakespeare. Our 15th president, James Buchanan. Warren Spahn. Shirley Temple and Roy Orbison all would have celebrated birthdays today. Valerie Bertinelli is 64. John Cena and John Oliver are each 47. What did I miss, David?
You know, Shakespeare would have been 460 years old today. And do you think he'd look much worse today than he did back in the day?
I don't know, but he probably would have gotten to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Hank Aaron hit his first home run today.
Yeah, 1954.
You had that?
Yeah, right after the beer thing when you said, did you skip 400 years?
Well, I mean, you did skip a lot. I thought you'd skip that. I mean, he hit 755 of them, you know.
You've heard folks elsewhere mock, Florida is gonna Florida. Well, Mark Miller sees it differently. He calls it the good, the bad, and the ugly. What you got, Mark?
Finance Buzz announced that it is celebrating the upcoming Star Wars Day, May the 4th, by paying someone $1,000 to watch all 9 of the Skywalker Saga films. The kicker is, you could have never have seen one before. They're looking for someone who is brand new to the franchise. As they say, a first-timer to the Force, a true young Jedi. And you can make $1,000 for watching them. I'm out. I've seen the first 3. And I think I saw the couple of the next 2 with my son. He was in for a while.
I was going to say, there was that weird generation where it was like, you guys grew up with them and then you had kids and then they dropped 3 more. And then, you know, Disney came in. And...
yeah.
For the bad, we go to Warwick Township, Pennsylvania.
Hello.
Where gentleman didn't like his service and threw a glass at restaurant workers and then left without paying the bill. He left in his white 4-door BMW, and they're hoping they can track down this man because he obviously has anger issues and problems not paying your bill. Throw the glass. Pay the bill, dude.
Let me tell you something. If I worked at a restaurant and somebody I waited on didn't pay the bill, I swear I would track them down myself.
So, true story. I was waiting tables in Atlanta. And I had a dentist take out his whole staff. And they run you around ragged, you know, filling up iced teas or whatever. And he decides he's not going to tip me. Now, what? I didn't think I did a bad job. I thought I was actually a pretty decent waiter. But he didn't like something. I walked out of the restaurant, followed him, in front of his whole staff. Said, excuse me, sir, did you forget something? And he looked at me and said, well, you didn't leave a tip. It was a, you know, 12 people there. It was a $100 lunch bill. Should have been a $20 tip. And he goes, well, you didn't fill my iced tea. And I went, well, you're an a-hole.
Well, here you go. And that's why, sir.
He called the restaurant, tried to get me fired. I kept my job, believe it or not.
And you said, oh, they've been trying to fire me, but... can't get good help nowadays.
No, the manager's looking at me. He's, don't do that. Just come up to me. I'll give you a coupon. You can attach a coupon. We'll get you the tip. Don't chase people out of here anymore. Fair enough. Probably shouldn't have, but it felt good. For the bad, we go to Quebec, where a family in Quebec is searching for answers after discovering their father's remains didn't make it from Canada from Cuba while he died on vacation. Instead, they sent another man.
How do they know? No, seriously.
They
you
looked?
Said remain. No, no, hold on. You said remains, so I'm assuming they cremated.
No, no, no.
Oh, okay. Well, then it's easy to tell. My bad. I thought, you know, I thought we'd already done the process. I'm like, well, how do you know?
David's like, dead is dead.
I was going to say, you're in an urn. That's not my dad. Really? And you can tell why? I mean, it's tough to, it's, you know, tough to tell the big nose in an urn.
He's a bit ashy.
Exactly. Well, but you know, near the end, they all get ashy.
That is the good, the bad, and the ugly on today, April the 23rd, 2024.
Yeah, you can't send the wrong guy.
No, that's a problem.
That is a problem. We're going to have to keep it closed. Why?
It's not dad.
I'll tell you later. Blame it on the funeral home. They just didn't. Man, look at the job they did on Tommy. Doesn't look anything like Tommy.
He's never looked
I'm
better.
I'm not paying for this.
Oh, boy.
A couple of guys who have lost their father. They could joke about this. Trent's going, yeah, I'm not going to take notes on this segment.
I think that's a good idea. 4 games in the NHL tonight as we move right along.
Go. Nice transition there,
yep.
Big fella.
Rangers and Capitals get things going at 7, but Lightning and Panthers at 7:30. Panthers trying to extend their 1-0 lead. Tampa trying to equal the series. Colorado and Winnipeg, Nashville and Vancouver are the 2 late games in the NHL.
So the Caps, Rangers, Colorado, Winnipeg are the ESPN games. Lightning, Panthers, Preds, Canucks pushed to the deuce. The ESPN games start first. They're 7 and 9:30. The deuce games are 7:30 and 10. So, and by the way, the playoff games are, they're starting very late and they're not fitting in their window at all. And I don't know why. Because it's not like they're calling a bunch of penalties in these games.
They're not dropping the puck when they're supposed to.
At
all. It's that simple. I mean, they ended up getting close to the start of the Dallas game last night, but that was a 9:50 drop of the puck for a 9:30 game. That's a little ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, the hockey's running a touch long here for what it's worth. So NBA, no Heat tonight. They got one more day to lick their wounds. Phoenix, Minnesota, front end of the TNT double dip. Dallas, the Clippers, the back end. Dallas favored. Dallas got whooped in the first game. They're anticipating no Kawhi. Mavs are a 2.5-point favorite. By the way, Colin Cowherd came out yesterday and said Kevin Durant is becoming irrelevant. And he rattled off and he just said, listen, it's not that Kevin Durant's still not a terrific player. He goes, but they're in Phoenix. They're not winning. He's in his mid-30s and he's not going to get better. If they can't win this year, are they going to get any better? They have no roster flexibility. And he's basically like, is Kevin Durant going to play out the rest of his career and, you know, be basically irrelevant?
I think this is a whole separate conversation, but I really think with the Olympics happening this summer, we're going to see the league shake up quite a bit. You hear about like how the Miami Heat, that was the big three,
oh, totally,
that was conspired at an Olympics, you know?
I totally agree with you. I think all these guys are going to get together and they're going to decide what teams they want to go to.
I mean, seriously, LeBron, KD, don't call me crazy, Steph.
Also, Embiid playing for Team USA, which is a whole other story.
Yes. It's just something to watch.
What was it? The French player doesn't want Embiid allowed in the country for not playing for France.
Right.
The guy that got dunked on by Vince.
Right.
Right. Frederick Weiss. Yeah. Right.
That's
shouldn't
thing.
Let him in the country.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so Panthers Lightning. Who do you guys like?
Lightning. I have the series going 7.
I like the Panthers.
If you like the Lightning, +185 boost on the Hard Rock Bet app on the money line.
Oh, there's a boost!
+185. Ah! That's good. That's good value, David, if you like the Lightning.
Sprinkle that, baby! Marlins in Atlanta again. They're 6-18. They're likely to lose. Rays hosting the Tigers again. Rays are 500, and they got half the team on the IL. And Rosarena is hitting like .104. They got issues. They really do. If anybody's paying attention. Had a big crowd of 13,000 last night. Miller and Moulton. We'll do it tomorrow because we have to.